Fossil fuel-based production of plastic increases the emission of heat-trapping greenhouse gases, intensifying the climate emergency and jeopardizing the world's ability to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius. The report explains in 2015 the total estimated lifestyle emissions from plastics were 1.78 billion tons of carbon dioxide equivalent CO2e. For context, if the whole plastics life cycle were a country, it would be the fifth largest emitter of greenhouse gases in the world. By 2050, the life cycle emissions of plastic are predicted to be 6.5 GT CO2e per year, culminatively taking up 15% of the entire remaining carbon budget. Another new study by researchers at the Stockholm Resilience Center found that chemical pollution on Earth has crossed a planetary boundary, with the worldwide boom in plastic production contributing significantly to the problem. As EIA put it, plastic pollution poses a direct threat to the very limits of what our planet can manage. On top of the indirectly driving humanity closer to the planetary boundaries for climate change and biodiversity loss, the report states, it is clear that the rapid accumulation of plastic, not just in the ocean, but in all environments, poses a direct threat to planetary boundaries. If a disruptive effect to the Earth system is not already happening, then it soon will, without decisive action. Despite being the world's biggest per capita plastic polluters, the United States and the UK have so far refused to join an international treaty to curb the amount of plastic waste destined for landfills and habitats, though both countries are reportedly now open to the idea.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamadi.
Islamadi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, and other life forms. You're listening to Youth Station. I'm Zainab, and in the studio I'm joined by my amazing co-host,
Asma Ansari. I'm very glad to be here.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It's a pleasure to have you with us. How often do you find yourself engaging in the act of self-sabotage?
Well, not many times.
I do it on a daily basis.
Daily basis? No. Sometimes I think that I'm not the faulty person. Sometimes I think that what happened is just not my fault. I know where I am, I think.
Congratulations. I'm so happy for you.
Yes.
How often do I engage in the act of self-sabotage? Almost every day. It's the little things. Yeah, sometimes it's a full-blown self-sabotage that, yes, you know, it takes me months to recover from. I actively end my own career. But sometimes it's just the little things.
So you notice every single thing and you sabotage about them.
Staying up till 3 in the morning.
Yes.
Watching YouTube.
Yes.
For me is an act of self-sabotage.
So that's a nice definition.
Yeah.
That is a self-sabotage.
It is, because I know I have to go to work or at least wake up for subuh in the morning.
Yes.
That's going to be really hard, you know, strenuous. If I could wake up at 5, and that will throw off my entire, the next day I'll be sleepy and drowsy and grumpy. I won't have any appetite. I won't eat well.
Yes,
I'll have dark circles. I won't be able to, my brain is, will literally turn into pudding. You know, that just throws the entire day off.
Yes, throughout the day, your brain is resting, and you have to do a lot of things.
Exactly. It wants to rest, at least, but I won't let it.
But I don't call that sabotage, because what you are doing is a fruitful thing. So it's not sabotage. When you're doing fruitful things and it's productive, there is no cry over it.
Yeah, but during its own right time, not 3 in the morning where I should have been sleeping. See, it's about priority.
Yes, priority do matter, but nowadays in our lives, we do not have that very pre-planned life. Everything comes on the spot. If you go to work, you have to be there for some special hours. Then you come home, you have to do some chores. Then many things come in their way, and you can't do the things you want to do. So that's not sabotage. You don't have time, so you do it at night.
Actually, I feel like if I plan properly and I prioritize properly, because for me, sabotage is when I neglect my priorities.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's what sabotage looks like to me. That moment, I should have been doing something else, right?
Yes.
But I did something else instead. And then it led to my downfall in some way or another.
Yes,
small downfall, major downfall, whatever. If I plan my day properly and I schedule myself and the things I have to do, I can switch on YouTube and let the documentary on the Byzantine Empire, the Crusade War, or the Black Plague or whatever play while I'm washing the dishes, while I'm doing laundry, while I'm sweeping the house, while I'm vacuuming.
That's very difficult to do simultaneously.
Yeah, I'm fine with multitasking.
That's very good.
I'm absolutely fine with it. Sometimes I even find myself being able to listen to an audiobook while I'm working.
I'm a kind of a woman who cannot do multitask.
Oh, tunnel vision.
Yes.
But then again, that specific task that you're focused on, you do it to the best.
Exactly. I can do only one thing, and that one thing I do it fully.
Perfectionist.
Yes, idealistic.
When was the last time you sabotaged yourself?
Well, the last time I sabotaged myself, I think in the way you're putting sabotage is more like...
That's not the only way to sabotage yourself. You can sabotage yourself any way you want.
It's more like being accusing yourself for something. You should have done it more properly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? That's what I'm getting from your kind of sabotage. If that is the point, then I accuse myself many times a day, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yes, that happens. The last time I sabotaged myself, if we're putting it this way, is going to be
last
night.
Even closer.
Last night, because I was about to come here in the morning, and then I stayed awake, right, like what you said. I watched documentaries, and... So now I didn't get enough of a sleep.
Now you're tired.
Semi-tired, because we're getting used to this sort of lifestyle. And by time, it becomes our lifestyle.
We're bringing about unnecessary stress and tension.
I loved it when you said unnecessary stress. Mm. Yes.
It's really unnecessary.
We impose it to our lives.
Yes, exactly.
And that's very sad.
Yeah, it is.
Because we're going to be the one who loses things and who's going to be under the pressure.
Yeah, that's what sabotage is at the end of the day. And, you know, my definition of sabotage can be on different scales.
Yes.
Not doing what I should have been doing at that moment. What it can be watching YouTube at 3 a.m.
Yes.
It could be taking responsibility for an action that was clearly my fault, but I shifted it onto another person, and then I lost that relationship. That's one way of self-sabotage.
Yes.
Or being in a situation, being in college and not studying hard enough while I know I can. Yeah, sometimes you're sick, sometimes you've got other responsibilities.
There are many justifications.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you have to work part-time jobs to support yourself or even your family. All that stuff comes up. And in that situation, no one expects you to be a straight-A student. And if you are, you're really doing something extraordinary.
Exactly.
Right? But sometimes I'm in college, and instead of, you know, spending most days and nights studying and grinding and powering through, I'm chilling with my friends, you know, I'm going out to gatherings and parties and theaters and this and that. That's self-sabotage.
Exactly.
These 4 years are never going to come back.
Yes.
And if you don't seize the moment and make the best of it, well, you obviously can. If you neglect your priorities at that moment.
Yes.
You've ruined your future, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I get it, totally.
Or when you're in a relationship with your spouse, just say sorry. It's not that hard. And we don't. And
yes, it is hard.
If we have proper priorities, it's really not that hard. If my priority is...
We have to practice a lot.
Yeah, of course, obviously.
Then again, we come back to the story of nafs. That's a very difficult thing.
Yeah,
I call it dignity, though.
It's always culprit. No. There's such a fine line between arrogance and self-respect. You know?
But that's very delicate.
Yeah, but what does God want?
Ah, that's a point.
At that moment.
Now you're hitting it.
The nail on the head.
Yes.
What does God want at that moment?
Exactly.
Does God really give a rat's whisker about your pride at
How
that moment?
How is he happier?
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, you don't, and then the situation escalates, and then you end up not talking
Tensions, drama.
You end up not talking for a few hours,
yes.
even days, and that malice and grudge and anger cultivates, and then it emanates negative energy.
It grows inside of you, and you're not happy.
And then you grow apart,
yes.
and it's just, come on, you know?
A single sorry.
Just a single sorry. Just a single heartfelt sorry. Not like, I'm sorry, okay?
But I don't mean it.
Yeah, don't do that. That just makes things worse. Why would you do that? Priorities, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling myself first and foremost.
Yes, I know.
Because I'm constantly flipping around my priorities.
So your advice for sabotage is to prioritize things.
Yes, prioritize.
That's a very good point.
And don't undermine that priority. Don't neglect it. Don't mistreat it. Don't dismiss it.
Don't let things come by itself.
Yes, don't
have
let
a plan
things get
for
out,
it.
Get in the way of you
take
achieving.
Action.
Yeah, and taking action. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to Youth Station. We're going to be back after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Supposedly, you've sabotaged yourself already.
Yeah.
You didn't have a choice. It just had to happen. How do you fix it?
Maybe I do that again and again until the time I understand that it's not okay anymore and I have to take an action. I think about it and I decide to solve the issue that is making me end up in the
sabotaging loop, if you may.
Sabotaging loop.
What sort of action, what sort of measures do you take? To fix that situation.
Measures. Well, I solve it within myself.
Mm-hmm. That's,
everybody
that's
has got a way of solving things. Everybody knows what is a better way, what is the best for them to soothe themselves or to solve the situations. So I think it's more of a personal thing. Everybody has got a way of living.
Coping.
Of coping with things, exactly.
Resolving issues, definitely, yes. For sure. Are you the kind of person that needs to talk it out with someone? Are you a venter?
I feel better when I talk to someone, but that someone is not always there. Mm. So you have to solve it with yourself.
Who's that someone in your life, you don't mind me asking?
My family. My brothers, maybe my mother.
Yeah.
Jess, and father, of course. But I don't let them worry with me.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
That's the thing.
But I have a brother who's a partner in crime always. So I tell him. He's the one who understands. So I think the best way of solving it...
Does he give you good solutions as well?
Yes. He's younger than me, but he has good... He happens to be...
Very wise.
Yes, he happens to be very wise, and he gives me good solutions.
And that's very important,
too. I confide to him always.
Yeah, because, I mean, if the Quran tells the Prophet to shawiruhum fil amr, not that Rasulullah needs anyone's opinion.
Of course.
But Allah's, like, making a point that, yeah, consulting others is good.
Yes, he's telling us, of course.
Yeah, exactly. It also depends on who you're consulting. Don't consult,
very true.
The cucumber vendor in your neighborhood.
Yes.
If you're going to consult someone...
Someone who knows you is going to help you better.
Yes, knows the situation, has adequate knowledge. Because then again, another hadith tells us, don't talk about what you don't have enough information about.
Exactly, that's the point. The problems of modern people is that they think they have information about every single issue in this world. Mm. And everyone is right.
And we often overshare. I blame social media for this.
Yes, exactly.
We overshare everything.
We don't have to share everything with everyone.
Not at all.
Especially those who we do not know.
Keep it low-key. Keep it private.
Exactly.
Half of the problems we
have yourself.
Is because we overshare in a lot of cases.
And that makes the problem even bigger. Mm-hmm. It does not solve it. It makes it even bigger.
Yeah, it blows it out of proportion, and now everyone's involved.
And there's no control over it.
There's no control over it, exactly.
The worst part is that there's no control
over
it.
Because it's
explosion.
Yes. There's no controlling where the scattered and debris pieces fly around.
And more of sabotage.
More sabotage. Loop again. Sabotage can come in many shapes and forms and sizes.
Of course.
But I think what we learn from it is that stick to our priorities and our principles.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, everything is a learning lesson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every second of life is a learning process.
Bounce back. Just bounce back. Don't dwell. You sabotage yourself, you ruin your life. Okay, bounce back.
Yes. Exactly.
And that's all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because of you. I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker, abiding in silence with patience and guidance. The well when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my love is strong because you are the one I call creator, my alpha and omega, my protector and my maker, because of you.
Food for thought.
Everyone, and congratulations to all on the birthday anniversary of the most noble lady ever. The Holy Prophet's daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. Today, which is celebrated as Mother's Day and Women's Week in the Islamic Republic of Iran, we now present you some food for thought on how devoted this lady was to God and to humanity, even during her nuptials, in order to save the destitute from the problems of life. On her wedding night, someone knocked on the door and said, I asked the household of the prophet to give me an old dress. At first, Fatima thought of giving her old dress, but then remembered the words of God in the Holy Quran, which say, By no means shall you attain righteousness unless you give freely of that which you love or prefer. Then she gave the poor person her new dress, an act that pleased God and conveyed this divine satisfaction through the Archangel Gabriel to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
In the world of art, a Japanese artist named Sachi is creating incredibly realistic felted wool portraits of cats. Sachi calls her artworks Wakuneko, which directly translates to frame cat. Her work is highly popular, and she has more than 600,000 followers on different social media platforms. Each portrait takes a whopping 1 month to complete. The crafting process starts with Sachi looking at dozens of photos of the cat she wants to replicate. Then she prepares the required materials before preparing the foundation and mounts the felt onto it. The most difficult part of the job is making the subject's eyes. According to Sachi, it is also the most special stage.
I think that the moment when the cat's spirit enters into the artwork can be presented through the eyes. In that sense, I have been very particular about how to make the eyes.
Sachi's portraits have inspired people around the world to adopt homeless cats. Now she hopes to hold an exhibition showing various cats, including ones with physical handicaps, in order to inspire more adoptions of shelter cats.
Traveling around the world is a wish a lot of people have, but never actually get around to it. However, this Belgian-British girl has achieved that feat at only 19. Zara Rutherford flew back home on Thursday to a crowd made up of family members, friends, fans, and journalist. She completed her odyssey after just over 5 months traveling over 52,000 kilometers. Zahra is the youngest female in the world to fly around the globe. She achieved this using a micro light aircraft, which weighs only 325 kilograms and has very low fuel consumption.
The plane obviously is a bad for the environment. I'm not trying to claim that it is, but I have chosen one of the best aircraft to do it with. The fuel consumption is amazing. For this whole trip, it's used the same amount of fuel as a Boeing uses in about 10 minutes for the whole trip around the world, which I think puts things into perspective. Obviously, it is bad, but I'm really trying to minimize my impact as much as possible.
Zahra says the scariest part of her trip was flying over the frozen expanse of Siberia, a place with no human habitation close by. The teen adventurer also had to deal with different countries' health restrictions. Zahra had to take multiple PCR tests on her journey, while China's COVID-related regulations meant she could not use the country's airspace. Now Zahra says she is glad she can stay in one place for a few months. Who knows what her next adventure will be? The Chinese New Year is less than 2 weeks away, and millions of people around the world are in festive mood. In Vietnam, people are preparing to buy each other a special gift. Since this year's animal zodiac sign is a tiger, figurines shaped like the animal are in high demand. The Vietnamese are making, selling, and buying gold-plated tiger models to commemorate the New Year. Making these sculptures is a lengthy and difficult process. It usually requires clay and copper, which are painted, gilded, and polished before being covered with 24-karat gold sheets. People tend to purchase these gifts for the luxury they evoke.
Possessing a zodiac animal model made with precious material such as gold would mean its owner is in the high class in society and is successful economically.
The gold-plated tiger model will firstly bring a luxurious feeling, and secondly, this tiger with wings model shows my hope for my works to take off and have some breakthrough in the new year.
The intricate artworks find their way to gift shops all over Vietnam. They usually sell for between $300 and $3,000. Disability is not an obstacle to success. A group of Japanese with disabilities has proved it as they create incredible handicraft and make a living this way. A shop called Amayaka offers the items made by these disabled individuals. Located in a Tokyo neighborhood, it showcases products ranging from scarves and bags to glassware and colorful cards. Mayaka and all other workshops are part of a new movement aimed at promoting works of people with impairment. In just one of the workshops cooperating with Mayaka, about 20 disabled people are working over there. However, organizers of the movement say these people are still invisible in the society and are not paid fairly for their works despite being experienced in craftsmanship.
Some workers here have a career of more than 30 years. They have been weaving since their school days. They are so experienced that we should refer to them as artisans.
The organizers say they hope that their initiative will promote the works of the people with disabilities and help the society to start thinking about the way disabled workers are being treated. Turtles get a second chance to spread their fins after being found with bellies full of plastic. They were rescued and are now being released back to the sea in Argentina. Two green turtles and four loggerhead turtles were saved from fishing nets in Buenos Aires province. The group was taken to Grupo Marino Foundation, where they recuperated after purging 10 types of plastic from their bodies. rehabilitation of the turtles lasted over a month and included blood tests and other procedures to make sure they were free of plastic. A biologist with a foundation says the danger of plastic is that it's silent and usually its dangers are so gradual that it goes unnoticed.
Many times the animal appears to be in perfect health. However, during the checkup and evaluation, we found a large amount of this material inside. So it is important to get rid of the plastic before the condition worsens and it ends up causing the deaths of the specimens.
The turtles had mistakenly eaten plastic, thinking it was food. Wind, waves, and sunshine break down discarded plastic into tiny pieces, which litter ocean waters. Much of this plastic waste can be found on beds of seaweed that turtles forage for food. This trash ends up fatally clogging their bellies, causing the decline in the population of these graceful reptiles.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The Indian administered Kashmir has the world's only floating post office. A 200-year-old houseboat on a famous Dal Lake in Srinagar, set up during the British rule in India. The post office has survived throughout the years because of its charm. Our correspondent Shahana Bhatt has more.
The Indian-administered Kashmir was once a princely independent state, out of bounds for outsiders. As the ruler of Jammu and Kashmir disallowed non-locals to own property in this picturesque region. During the British rule in the Indian subcontinent, many Britons tried to find an alternative way of living in Kashmir. Thus, houseboat on the world-famous Dal Lake came into existence. Today, the lake is a home to hundreds of such boats, which are a major attraction for tourists around the globe. This one is a unique boat, the only floating post office in the whole world. This is a 200-year-old boat built by the British. It has truly stood the test of time, as it still functions.
Post office, Dal Lake.
This is not an ordinary post office. We're standing on a heritage property. I've enjoyed my work since the very first day I came here. It's a unique experience to be working here. And every day, I get the chance to meet people from different corners of the world.
The boat is not limited to postal services. It also has a small museum where colorful stamps from the 1980s are put to display, along with a collection of rare philately stamps. The post office is a hot tourist destination in the region. Locals also come to this post office to send postcards to their loved ones, inviting them to visit Kashmir.
Floating post office.
In the age of technology, electronic mails, e-cards and other internet applications have made it extremely easy for people to communicate. But sending a postcard from this floating post office gives one a really different feeling.
The floating post office underwent reconstruction in 2011 and is currently a part of the Indian postal system. Recently, the office started offering banking services, thus attracting more locals.
I have opened an account here for my daughter. It's hassle-free and this place suits my mind. It's not like the usual offices. Visiting this place with kids is like a trip.
Yet another attraction of this post office is this souvenir shop from where everyone can buy postcards, stamps, traditional crafts and greeting cards.
This floating post office in Kashmir's Dal Lake is like a time machine. It brings people back to two centuries ago and shows them the history of the beautiful region. Shahana Bhatt, Indian-administered Kashmir.
Now let's go to Germany to hear the heartwarming story of how technology is turning a young boy's life around. 7-year-old Joshua has a severe lung disease which has made him unable to go to school. but now he can attend his classes from home with the help of an avatar robot. The device sits in Joshua's Berlin classroom, enabling him to listen to the classroom in real time to what his teacher and classmates are saying. Joshua can even interact with everyone else by making the robot display a blinking signal.
Each year, a village in Vietnam becomes awash in red and orange as it gears up for the Lunar New Year with spectacular mass production of incense. January is usually the busiest time when villagers are dyeing, drying and whittling bamboo bark to make the fragrance sticks. Also, the scent of each batch is carefully tailored to suit the tastes of the regions where they will be sold. Most households here are involved in this ancient trade, and sales are a major part of their livelihoods. The Lunar New Year will begin on the first day of February. Around this time, sales tick up with throngs of people crowding into temples to light incense during worship.
The chronic shortage of human organs has always been an issue for patients, especially those suffering from heart diseases. But now a major scientific breakthrough is in the making. U.S. surgeons have successfully implanted a heart from a genetically modified pig into a man. Doctors had said the patient, 57-year-old, was unable to have human transplant because of his health conditions. But now he is recovering from his latest surgery. The surgeons say the man is being carefully monitored to determine how the new organ is performing. But for those who want to know why pigs, here is why. Pigs are considered ideal donors because of their size and rapid growth, among other things.
You know, it is a game changer because, now we will have these organs readily available if this works, and I hope it will work. We'll have these organs available. We have the technique of genetically modifying. So if there are more tweaking required for modifying the genes, we will be able to do that, and can customize basically the heart for or the organ for the patient.
The transplant is the first of its kind in the world and follows years of research. In the U.S. alone, about 110,000 people are currently waiting for an organ transplant. Also, more than 6,000 patients die each year before getting one. Kingdom of Ice and Snow. Don't be surprised. It's an international sculpture festival held annually in the Chinese city of Harbin. This year, the venue brims with sports elements in a runner-up to the 2022 Winter Olympics scheduled in Beijing. The annual Winter Festival is the largest of its kind, where sculptors spend weeks using ice and snow to create structures under a given theme. The upcoming Winter Games is the theme this year, as one can visualize giant statues of Bing Duan Duan. The adorable panda mascots are major attractions of the exhibition. The chief designer says an ice tower standing in the center of the park features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics.
In terms of the design concept, the sculpture features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. The spiral array form also indicated the proactive spirit of the Olympics. The free and upward effect is a vivid presentation of the Olympic flame.
The annual festival, which is being held for about 3 decades, usually attracts domestic and foreign tourists. But COVID-19 restrictions have limited the crowds over the past couple of years. Harbin is located in northeast China and receives cold winter wind from Siberia. An average winter temperature there is around minus 17 degrees Celsius.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this special episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Why today is so special? Because today is the birthday anniversary of Lady Zahra. Peace be upon her.
Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, flower of Ali. Ya Hawra, Ya Hawra, delight of Nabi.
Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, flower of Ali. Ya Hawra, Ya Hawra, delight of Nabi.
I wish to extend my congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world on birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her.
The one and only daughter of Taha wa Yasin, the best of daughters given to Ummul Mu'mineen. We ask you to intercede for us on Qiyamah, so that with you we may also enter Jannah.
Today, Sunday, is the 20th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1443. Of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of January, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Thousands of congratulations on birthday anniversary of Great Lady Hazrat Zahra, peace be upon her. Naming Fatima Zahra. Naming newborn children is considered a principal divine rule. People's names vary according to different times, generations, and languages. There may also be a relationship between the name and its meaning. Nevertheless, advocates of Allah's religion give names special importance. Now, let's take a look at the narration which discusses naming Fatima Zahra, plus the reason for giving her these names. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, Fatima has nine names near Allah, exalted be his name. They are Fatima, Siddiqa, that means the honest, Al-Mubaraka, that means the blessed one, At-Tahira, that means the virtuous, Az-Zakiyya, that means the chaste, Ar-Raziyatul Marziya, that means she who is gratified and who shall be satisfied, Al-Muhaditha, a person other than a prophet that the angels speak to, Az-Zahra, that means the splendid. Imam Reza, quoting his father, said, the messenger of Allah said, O Fatima, do you know why you have been given the name Fatima? Imam Ali said, why was she named Fatima? He replied, because she, Fatima to Zahra, and her followers, the Shiites, are protected from hell.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Rain Astain. In this episode, we are going to talk about the birthday anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Allah Alayha. In the Islamic religion and Islamic history, we find that there has been only one female infallible figure and personality, and that specific and special figure was none but Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Allah Alayha, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. First of all, it must be indicated that he is the only female infallible figure in the list of infallible personalities. And this indicates that ladies and women may have higher and higher status and very much important religious positions in Muslim communities. And at the same time, it proves that it's quite possible for a lady, for a woman, for a lady, to become a role model, not only an infallible personality, I mean, in herself, rather, I mean, a role model. It must be indicated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the noblest personality of the whole creation, whenever he encountered his daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alaiha, he kissed her hands, and it shows that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had much more a feeling of respect for her daughter, not in the sense of, I mean, a father's love and attention in favor of his daughter, rather the status of, I mean, Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alaiha was really very high. At the same time, it's indicated in Bahar al-Anwar and also in Manaqib al-Abi Talib of Ibn Shahra Ashub that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up whenever he noticed Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha approaching him. And I mean, this act of standing up was, I mean, indicative of the unique position of Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha in the eyes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We hope to be able to take lifelong lessons from these indications. Thank you.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا Let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate.
Father and daughter. Prophet Muhammad and his daughter had an extremely powerful relationship. Even Aisha, the Prophet's wife, has spoken about the strong relationship between Muhammad and Fatima. She said, "Never had I seen anyone like the Messenger of Allah in his solemn way of standing and sitting more than Fatima, may Allah grant her more honors. When she came to see him, he would rise to his feet, take her hand, kiss her, and seat her where he was seated. And when he came in to see her, she would stand up, kiss his feet, kiss him, and seat him where she was seated." Aisha, one of the Prophet Muhammad's wives, has also said, "Never have I seen anyone resembling the Prophet of Allah in his way of speaking and talking better than Fatima. When people threw rocks at the Prophet of Allah, it was Fatima that came and cleaned and helped. And as much as Fatima loved the Prophet, he loved her back." Dear brothers and sisters, accept our congratulations on the happy birthday of Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, leader of the women of paradise, the only daughter of the Holy Prophet of Islam, the mother of the leaders of youth of paradise, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace be upon them all.
Fatima al-Batul bi mawlidi ya Zahra.
the Lady of the Worlds. Prophet Muhammad, the Messenger of God, emphasized the exalted spiritual station of Lady Fatima on numerous occasions. In one of the most evident indications of Lady Fatima's immaculate nature, Prophet Muhammad stated, "O Fatima, indeed Allah is angered for your anger and is pleased for your pleasure. Since Allah is just and wise, He would only be angered or pleased righteously." The Prophet's infallible words describe Lady Fatima's anger and pleasure as indicators of Allah's anger and pleasure. Therefore, Lady Fatima must not be mistaken in her anger or pleasure under any circumstance. In light of his pure quality, Prophet Muhammad also said, "O Fatima, aren't you pleased to be the Lady of the Worlds, the Lady of this nation, and the Lady of the Faithful?"
Fatima al-Zahra once asked the Prophet, "Ya Rasulullah," when she was married to Ali ibn Abi Talib, she says, "Ya Rasulullah, what is the role of the wife and what is the role of the husband?" Rasulullah, he says, "The role of the wife is the tasks within the house, and the role of the man are the tasks outside of the house." Now, many feminists at this moment, they would probably be giving me very dirty looks. But we have to keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that Rasulullah is not saying that a woman shouldn't work or a woman cannot leave the house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is saying that if you want to achieve the best stability, this is the best way to achieve it. What does Fatima al-Zahra reply? Does she say, "Ya Rasulullah, I'm a woman, I want to go out, I want to work, I want to do this and that"? The answer that she gives is what a true believer responds when Rasulullah gives a statement. She says, "فَلَا يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ مَا دَخَلَنِي مَنَ السُّرُورِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ." No one knows the pleasure I experienced when I heard this statement except Allah. Full submission, even if you don't like it. Allah summarizes the spirit of iman in one verse. Allah says, "فَلَا وَرَبُّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا." Allah says, true believers are the ones who, whenever there is a dispute, major or minor, they refer to Rasulullah. When the Prophet gives a verdict, they submit wholeheartedly without any, even the slightest aversion in their hearts. Full submission. This was Fatima al-Zahra. Fatima al-Zahra reports that one day I was performing domestic chores. She says, "قَدْ مَجَلَتْ يَدَايَ مِنَ الرِّحَى." My hands were full of blisters because of the household chores. What was Ali ibn Abi Talib doing? وَأَبُو الْحَسَنْ يَحْمِلُ الْحَسَنَ وَالْحُسَيْنِ. The Imam alayhi salam, when Fatima al-Zahra was taking care of the domestic chores, was he just sitting and watching? There was cooperation and mutual respect and love. He was performing the child care. He was caring for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. This is a healthy marriage, brothers and sisters. One day, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, he comes to the house. He returns home. And he asks Fatima al-Zahra, "Oh Fatima, is there any food?" She says, "Ya Abul Hassan, there is not a morsel of food in the house." He tells her, "Ya Binta Rasulullah, why didn't you tell me that the house was empty of food, that we don't have food?" She says, "I didn't want to place a burden on your shoulders. I would always give you my share of the food and I remained hungry. I just drank water." Her demands were very minimal.
Hazrat Fatima Zahra's birth anniversary, celebrated as Women's Day in Islamic Republic of Iran. Congratulations on the birthday anniversary of the great lady Fatima Zahra alayha salam. And by that, we say salutations to all of you. Have a nice day. Let's all rejoice in it. This is the day of grief. Let's all rejoice in it. For this is the day of all.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.